6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to the Dead Son Show. We have meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood, forefathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless. Nobody's left out. These are the conversations that I want my sons to access as they grow through life into manhood, so no topics are off limits. I am one of your hosts, D-Johns. Jay Black is off today, this evening, but I got my son in the building who you've seen before. Say what's up, son.
Hello, what's up?
Okay, hello, what's up? How you feeling, man?
I mean, I'm good, you know. Excited to be back here. I've been wanting to come back on here, you know, and so I feel like I have a little bit more to say as I transitioning out of high school, and I've been through a little bit more than I was last time.
Live some life. We'll get into all of that. As you mentioned, he's in high school, so to orient the audience, because I never know who's coming into this journey at what time. It could be their first episode or second, but they may not know the orientation of our family. So today, not today, I have 5 children and a grandchild. Married to one wife for almost 20 years. Today, our children are 21, 19, 17, 11, and 10. So we got the 17-year-old. You're the middle child. How's it feel? You used to be the baby boy, and now you're sitting in the middle. We'll get into that, but that's the story. Son is in high school, finishing up his second semester of his senior year. So I often think back to what life was like for me during that time, and it makes me nervous about you because I know the type of stuff that I was, that caught my attention, that grabbed my attention, the things that I gravitated to that weren't all great. So hopefully you're open to talking about some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can ask me questions. You know, this is an open platform, and you've been on here three times.
I believe it's 3. Yeah.
Yeah. I know you and I did an episode. Then we did an episode at the Epic.
And we would want me and Eli at the studio.
Oh yeah. So this is your third. So you were at the identity conference we did. You were there, and mm-hmm. you spoke at the end just kind of as a recap, but you weren't actually on the panel. So that's 3 episodes. So you should be a pro at this, but what's going on? How do you feel about where you are in life, about being a senior, just all the things?
I feel like I'm ready for what's to come, like at my age. I feel like, I remember you told me a while ago that high school goes by fast. And I heard you, but I was like, it's not gonna go that fast, but it went by like that. So like, that's the thing. I learned a lot about like responsibility and how I need to handle my own. I feel like ever my grade slipped, you like not took less of discipline, but you like made sure I know it's like, it's on me. So I'm prepared for college, because you're not always going to be there to tell me, turn that assignment in, do this, do that. Yeah. Like that's on me to get my work done. And when I get a job, I know I have to be on task, stay on top of it, because they can let you go like that.
Yep.
So I feel like I'm way more ready to be an adult or learn how to be an adult and, you know, things that are to come.
Yeah, that's good, man. I'm listening. I'm trying to listen as a spectator and not your father, but that's hard. So I try to stay as objective as possible, but it's good to know that that something is clicking, right? And not that you weren't intelligent ever in life, but things click at different times. And it's not that you don't understand it, but it's like how you apply it. And that's what I mean by clicking. So yeah, when you have like your grades are your thing, and it's a slightly different approach than my dad, your papa took with me. Like I would get, early on, we get whippings for grades. I shouldn't say we, because Yon CJ never got a, she only got one C in college. So she, I mean, her life was different. She said she got a whipping, but I don't recall it. Actually, I do recall her getting a whipping one time, and then I laughed at her and they gave me a whipping too. And so that's the extent of her discipline life. But like it was an expectation, and I think, you know, it's an expectation in this house, but also your grades do nothing for me. And I'm not saying that flippantly, like I don't care, but if at some point you have to take responsibility, and it sounds like that's sinking in with the grades and all of that, because it has to be like, you have to want things for yourself. If your motivation is always external, when that external motivation goes away, if I'm no longer here, or whoever else was motivating you is no longer here, then what? You gotta find a source. And I think you're a good enough source for you to do well for you. What kind of, see, so it's so different for y'all in terms of technology for one. So it makes it harder for y'all to get away with anything. Like y'all can't run the I'm sleeping at my friend's house play and be somewhere else. Like it's very hard to do that. Like you have to go through a lot of logistics to make that work. And like I told you before, and I've said on the platform, I've made enough mistakes for all of y'all, you and your four siblings and your niece. We have a granddaughter who's 5 months old tomorrow. Another perspective that's different about our relationship is I didn't feel like I could talk to my dad about certain things because we didn't have, we communicated. I mean, you know, Papa, you know, is different than the guy that was my dad for sure. But he was very stern and I knew what the expectations were. So if I felt I was deviating from it, I didn't think there was an opportunity to really talk about it, to say, hey, I messed up. I would just get caught messing up and then it'd be worse. So I hope that that gives you a little more trust or willingness to actually have conversations with me about things that you don't understand. And maybe you may be curious about. So how do you feel about, that's a good question. How do you feel about our communication at this point? The first time you were on a podcast, it was eye-opening for me. Well, I kind of knew what was going on because you're why I started this podcast.
Yeah.
Actually, for those that don't know. But let's grade me on where you think I am today with communication. And I can still body slam you. So be choose your words.
What you mean, like letter grade?
I mean, I said that.
I know.
But
so
what's working, what's not working?
What's working? I feel like you improve so much from last time. Like, I feel like I'm way more comfortable in the house. And that's just what it is. I wasn't like, I don't know. I feel like the relatability aspect, like you open yourself up more, like genuinely. So like, I know more about you now than I did in the past. And I'd rather have that than anything, to be honest. It's a great thing. So yeah.
And that's part of the rationale again for starting the podcast is that me and my dad, your grandfather, Papa, I'm just keep saying, Papa is my father, his grandfather. It's too much to keep translating it every time. I learned things about him on this podcast, but that was when I was 40. So his dad, he only had his dad in his life for 21 years. His dad died when he was 21, when my father was 21, and he didn't talk a lot. So if you thought at one point we didn't talk a lot, imagine that going back half, then half again for every generation before that. So he was at a disadvantage in terms of not having open communication with his father, losing his father as he was transitioning into adulthood, and then raising a child without a reference to his father. So this is the first time in the written history that we have that three generations of John's men existed at the same time. So that's a big deal. But we didn't. I mentioned that I wasn't comfortable, but you said you feel comfortable in the house, period. Mm-hmm. Say more about that. Like, was it specifically our interaction that was making you uncomfortable, or was it more than that?
I don't think it's just like me and you think our interaction. It's just like, I used to prefer being alone, like in my room, just not talking to anyone. That's why a lot of the times I just eat in my room or just sneak food to my room. I like to just be alone in my solitude, but like I'm coming down, like interacting more. So I feel like it's maybe a just maturity thing. Like as I get older, you know?
Yeah, that could definitely be a phase. I was a loner to a degree, but it was different for me because my young CJ is 5 years older than me. So we didn't really connect until we were both adults. Cause like her friend, it didn't make sense to me to hang with her and her friends. And then when she went to college, I started to miss her. But, you know, I was moving into, when she went to college, I was in eighth grade. And then I moved into, you know, the high school. And that's why I met the friends that, you know, people that you call your uncles today. That's why I met them. So, you know, my crew is still my crew. But it was also hard for me to understand, or I think I did more assuming than trying to understand you based on my relationship with my dad. So because I wanted to be alone and I didn't want to be like in his face or anything like that, I assumed that about you. But the difference is you have so many siblings that are closer in age to you. And I actually envy like the relationship that you have with you and Imani went to the movies the other day. I was like, okay, wow. Missed with that connection. Not that you didn't have a connection, but like it wasn't so much wow, but it was like, man, like me and I don't think my sister and I can't recall if we ever did something like that. And again, it was just like the age difference, and she was with her friends, I was with my friends, and she was gone to college. What concerns you about moving into the next phase? Like, you mentioned that it seems clear that you know you're going to be taking on more responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll come back to how sheltered I think I've kept you, almost to, I wouldn't say to your detriment, but like you had a more comfortable life than I had. Yeah. And there's pros and cons to that. But mm-hmm. What concerns you about moving, like the world, like you being completely responsible for you? And what I mean by that is not that we're not going to support you. You got to move out the house. But at 18, or shoot, maybe at 17 now, if you go out there and make a dumb decision, that's on Donovan.
Oh, yeah.
It'll affect everybody else, but it's not a call my dad thing anymore.
So I feel like what concerns me is like, I feel like I'm going to always try to make the right decision. And if I don't, that's going to affect me a lot. Like, I feel like I need to learn that mistakes and like losses are lessons. So I need to, you know, also need to keep my emotions in check, because I can't like be lashing out at people or like, you know, come out of character. Because especially as a black man, that's going to affect me a lot.
Absolutely. Do you feel like your desire to make perfect decisions, or you said always make the right decisions, which is trending toward trying to be perfect, does it give you like anxiety, or does it hold you back from doing certain things?
I mean,
like, are you scared to fail?
Yes.
It's good to admit it, but it's part of life. So one thing that I would suggest is you don't always have to have the experience. You just need the information from somebody that's had the experience. So what is not wise is making the same mistakes that I made that I told you about. And then we later have something in common that we celebrate, which is foolish. Make new mistakes. And I'm not saying go out there and find the dumbest thing you can do. But if there's a chance to take that makes sense and you've weighed out the risk, sometimes you don't learn unless you take the chance. Right. And then there's, as you mature, you'll get better at assessing risk and making those decisions. But this is the time of your life to take chances to a degree. Right. And again, it's not a free reign to just go do whatever. But there's something like I don't know if we ever had this discussion, but at one point I wanted to be a lawyer. And I kind of gave up on that and blamed other things, but I could have pursued it. I could probably still pursue it now, but I'm way far gone on going back to school for almost anything. But things like that, you know, you don't allow other things to, don't allow your fear to negotiate what you want to be or what you want to do in life. It's tough either way. Even if it's easy, it's tough later. And that's a good segue into what I was referencing in terms of you being sheltered. I had carried a guilt for a long time, still do somewhat, of how much we moved around early in life. And I don't know how much of that you remember. I imagine you remember from maybe the townhouse that we had in Herndon, Virginia. Because I don't even know if you started school there. I know we had a babysitter come over. I want to say Imani started first or second grade there. But what's the earliest house that you remember?
It was the one before the most recent one in Virginia. Springwood, oh, I think. We were like straight down from the school. Like we could walk there. Okay, walk to the school.
That was in Fife Court in Fairfax.
From Fairfax to
Woodbridge.
Woodbridge.
So yeah, that makes sense. Fairfax. Yeah, Fairfax. You were in school. You used to go to karate after school.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved every 2 years for a while. We went to Dubai. We were there almost. Y'all were there almost 3 years, but you had long summers back in the States. So moving around so much, like I said, I kind of carried a guilt. It was because I was getting promoted at work and had more opportunity. So it was kind of a good thing, but I always felt like y'all weren't settled. Like y'all didn't feel like y'all were from anywhere. So I kind of like tried to overcompensate with gifts or fun or not being too strict. And sometimes a soft life, like I said, early makes for a hard life later. Do you feel how do you feel your upbringing has been in terms of strictness or freedoms?
I feel like because I was so young, I didn't really feel like I didn't belong. Like when we were in Virginia, I didn't feel like when we moved, it wasn't really a problem for me to like make new friends or anything like that. But I didn't feel like, you know, I think I was young enough to where like it didn't feel like we were moving too much. Mm-hmm. Dubai was like big transition, but I adapted.
Yeah. You know?
I was young enough to like, because I was when kids actually went outside, like easily connect with people.
Yeah.
My age. So yeah.
But that's two prong in terms of being before COVID where you could do that. And also being somewhere that was so safe,
mm-hmm.
where parents were okay with their kids leaving. I'm sure I didn't know where y'all were at all times.
Yeah, we were just outside for like 10 hours, just playing, come back inside, eat dinner.
Yeah. And that's kind of a fun life. And that's how kids were before. Like you come in when it gets dark, you know, like that's the indicator to be inside. But also, like I said, it was so safe over there that the worst thing that could happen is an unsafe driver. You know, if you were walking the street or something like that. But in terms of being bullied or hurt or fighting anything like that, it was pretty safe. How was your transition back to the U.S.? So you came back in fifth grade?
Six.
Okay. Yeah, you and Imani a year behind in school, so 6 and 7. Yeah. How do you feel that transition was when we came back to the States?
It was really big transition, like from homeschool for like, how long?
3 years.
3 years to like public school. And like, I didn't have that transition to where like kids like act like they're like growner than they are. So when I came back, the realization on how kids act in school.
Yeah.
Ludicrous.
Yeah. guess that is a big deal because you interact with other kids in Dubai, but that was just playing outside. It wasn't in a school setting. And even if you were in school, the schools weren't that big. Schools here are huge, bigger than anything I experienced when I grew up in Virginia. But that's interesting. You said the kids acting growner. What do you feel like you were unprepared or just nervous, or was it just new?
It was a mix of everything, I think. Like, I'm going to be so honest. I acted like the people around me. Like, I didn't really have my own personality. That didn't form until later in my school career.
Yeah. Let's talk about picking friends. How would you raise yourself on picking friends? Let's look at high school. Did you do all 4 years in the school, or was one of your...
In high school?
Yeah, was one of your years the COVID? No, your eighth grade was the COVID year. So how do you feel it's been, you know, with your friend picking experience from ninth until now?
I feel like I've had a couple where it's like, now I'm seeing it, like, a lot of them aren't worth my time, to be completely honest.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
But I have a couple of friends from freshman year that like stuck out.
Yeah.
Like, I see how like they've grown too. So I have one friend, Davion. I met him freshman year. We still hang out to this day, so that's good. Yeah. I feel like we're gonna like have that friend connection for a while.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Some people find friends at different phases of life. Like I said, my core crew. Like I've met some people out here that I consider my brothers, but I didn't have an opportunity to know them until I moved out here. But the people that you see around me, whether that, you know, we're going to their house or whatever, like I've known them longer than I haven't known them. So for some, 30, I'm 45, yeah. So 30 plus years I've known, the people that I hang around. Now the circle has gotten smaller because you make different decisions in life and, you know, a couple have passed away, things like that. But it's, you don't realize, like you said in the beginning, how quickly life passes. And you look up and you're 45. And that may sound crazy, but I remember senior year like it was yesterday. I had a blast my senior year. I figured out what I need to do in terms of responsibility. I got my license in 11th grade. So that was a big light bulb for me. It's like, oh, license, do your homework. That's kind of, you know, be obedient, take care of your responsibilities. And you have a car, you have freedom, which was a big deal for me. And if you think we didn't know where y'all were at, my parents definitely didn't know where I was at when I had a car. Ooh, no clue. And one thing about my dad is like, he was adventurous when he was young. So though I was hesitant to ask him for things or permission to do stuff, I found out around 12th grade that he's like, yo, go explore. So if I wanted to take a trip that was an hour and a half, 2 hours away, 3 hours away, he was fine with it. And I didn't think that he would be like that. But then again, I started learning stories about him later in life. So that's one thing that's really odd to me about you and, I say you and Imani, is y'all weren't anxious to drive. Like, I still don't know if you're...
I mean, yeah, I do want to drive now. Like, yeah. I would love to.
Like, that was everything. Like, I can have a car and I can go places. But also, when you have a car, you can go places. And sometimes you find yourself in places that that don't suit you. Have you found yourself in compromising positions? You don't have to tell on anybody about what's happening, but have you found yourself in potentially trouble situations, and how did you maneuver if yes?
Compromising situations. Yeah, definitely. I feel like sometimes I would be out with a group of people and one of them would be like, oh yeah, let's go. Like Halloween, one of these people, my friend was hanging out with, he was like, oh, you want to go to this Halloween party? I was like, nah, bro. Because like that's beyond me. It's been times where I wanted to get into altercations with people, but I've been able to, keep my emotions in control.
Yeah.
Come to the best outcome. But yeah, I've definitely been in situations where I've been tempted to do bad things, but I've resisted, thankfully.
Yeah, thank God. Like my senior year, that's when my car got shot up. I told you that story before. We were going to avenge the honor of one of, somebody that I can't say I thought he was my boy. He was my boy at the time. That's one of the people that's deceased. And we weren't on any terms when he sees. We weren't on necessarily bad terms, but that event kind of separated the crew for like that part of the crew anyway. But just being in the wrong place for seemingly the right reason didn't turn out so well. So I'm glad that you have a cooler, calmer head about things. What do you know what you want to be in life?
To be honest, I really don't. Like right now, like psychology/therapy is like at the top of my list, but I don't know if I want to do that for the rest of my life. Like I'm still trying to figure it out. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing because people don't know what they want to do or like what they end up wanting to do till like the 30s or 40s,
Yeah. A lot of people find out they don't want to do what they thought they were going to do 20 years into doing it. So I don't have an issue with that as long as it's top of mind for you to be aware of it. Mm-hmm. And there's no timeline for me that you have to figure it out. Life will start to dictate, how quickly you need to figure things out. But like I said, you're in a position to take some chances, experience some things without an absurd amount of pressure from other choices in life, like having kids or having a family, mm-hmm. all of which you're very capable of doing now, which is something that I wasn't necessarily prepared for. Like me and my dad didn't talk about sex. And it's not that you and I discuss it on a daily basis, but I think you're aware that if you have a concern, you can come to me. Like we've had that conversation. And there definitely needs to be more conversation about it. But like just the choices of those momentary choices that can have lifelong consequences is often what young people don't get. Men and women, because your brain isn't fully developed yet. So I try to be as open with you as possible about the mistakes that I've made or the choices that I made probably sooner than I should have made them so that, number one, you don't think that there's this false sense of pressure for you to be perfect because your dad is nowhere near perfect. Your mom, she can tell her own story. Your father wasn't perfect. Do you want a family?
Yeah, definitely.
Why?
I want my legacy to keep going. I want to instill some things that you taught me and to do better. Because I want every generation to do better than the last.
Absolutely.
So I want that, Yeah.
Legacy. What do you think is important to me in terms of legacy?
I don't think it's the way we think about you. Like, I don't think that's the main thing. I think it's how the way you act and the way that gets instilled in us and the way we continue that and your values, your good values, and the way we like carry that on through the generations.
I'm happy to know that. Happy that you even are thinking about legacy. What would you like to see more of in our relationship or different?
I still feel like we should like hang out more like once in a while.
Yeah.
I feel like you talk more. Like the other day you picked me up from school and like you showed me what you were listening to.
Yeah.
In ninth grade. So that was cool.
You just like, it was a little outdated.
Just a tiny bit.
Outdated.
But I see you like picking up some of like the newer music, like the more recent music.
Yeah.
Like as to the like relatability, you know?
Yeah. I don't like a lot of it, but I try to be aware of it. And that's another thing that me and my father didn't have. His position was don't listen to it. You better not listen to it. So there was no opportunity to discuss what was actually said in it because I should have never been listening to it. But ultimately, if I was able to listen to it in a very strict Christian home where there wasn't internet, like I literally had to order cassette tape. I don't even know if you know what a cassette tape is?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Because I don't know where you would have seen one. But they used to have deals in magazines. This is crazy. Where you would rip out a sheet in a magazine, fill out some information, mail it in, and then they mail you like 12 CDs for a dollar. But what it does is it puts you on a subscription for like $20 a month and they just keep sending you stuff. So I don't even know how those ended, but I was able to secretly order those and have them shipped to the house and get them and hide them in my room and then play them in my Walkman without my parents.
Walkman.
You know what that is?
I have no idea what a Walkman is.
So that's why I don't know if you know what a cassette tape is. A Walkman is a small radio that had a cassette player probably about the size of this, and I'm holding a remote for those that are listening on the audio, a rather large remote. But you would plug headphones in, like wired headphones into that, and you would put on your hip or whatever, have like a belt clip, and the tape would go inside of it so you could play it. Or you may have a boom box, which is a big radio that had a tape player.
What's a boom box? No, I'm just playing.
I'm not sure. I don't know. We used to have to record our music off of the radio. So you had to listen to the radio and anticipate the song coming on, hit record. You don't know nothing about that. But anyhow, my point is I was listening to stuff that I knew I shouldn't be listening to, but there was no outlet to actually discuss what I was listening to. So I know I'm not foolish enough to think that you don't listen to stuff that at some point you'll realize that, maybe the messaging really isn't for me. You know, I want to be aware of it to have that relatability so that if something is discussed, we can at least have a conversation about it. What has being an uncle changed you any? Your older sister, the 21-year-old, had a baby right before she turned 21. That's 5 months old. Baby Elijah.
I feel like not yet. Because she's so young. I don't really got to watch her that much because there's a lot of people to watch her.
Yeah.
But I feel like as she gets older, I learn more. Like after like, there's going to be opportunities where I watch her or like we'll have to take care of her. So I feel like that'll teach me some things.
Yeah. Be a difference. It'll be a difference. Man, I'm proud of you, son. Like just every time I hear you talk, because like you said, you were a loner. And then like the only time you were loud before a vocal was on your game.
Yeah.
And that seems like every teenager across the world. But it's reassuring to hear you talk, to hear you articulate. Like those are the things that concern me. Like when you're not saying anything, it's hard to gauge like where you are. Like, is he a goofball? Is he a nutcase? Is he loopy? Is he actually getting life? And every time I hear you talk, whether you're talking to me directly or not, like you get it, mm-hmm. which which makes me lean differently on you differently or have higher expectations in different areas, like taking the trash out, like all of it.
Yeah.
Not just the bag, but the stuff around the bag, things like that. And those things may seem small, but those things help me gauge like how responsible you would be in a car by yourself, which is a big weapon.
Oh yeah. That's why I've been scared to drive. I feel like it's like the road is a scary place. You can do everything right, and then you can just lose your life like that because someone else wants to be stupid.
That's every part of life. Mm-hmm. That's every part of life. But if you have the right training, you can do as much as you need to do correctly to offset that. If you're just out there reckless, that wouldn't be a good idea. But those are the connections that I specifically, maybe some other parents draw when it's the little tasks aren't done properly, or there seems to be an oversight, or how could you not see this? It's hard to imagine trusting you to be aware and alert of things like that with other people, having to be concerned with what other people are doing. That's the biggest thing when you're driving. Like you'll get the rhythm and the hang of controlling your own vehicle rather quickly, but being aware of what other people are doing and being able to anticipate or avoid, you know, issues with other drivers, that's a skill to develop. We're gonna start to wrap up, but what questions do you have for me?
What was the first thing that surprised you when you like entered adulthood? Like your biggest like wow, like didn't know about?
That I didn't know, like being responsible for my bills.
Mm-hmm.
I moved out at 19. And that's another thing. So it's not far fetched that you would want to move out early. Like I did, but I learned so many tough lessons moving out. But just having to be responsible for me was a big deal. It was a really big deal because the path that I chose, I didn't have to. I could have done the right thing in college and stayed there, stayed on campus with my friends and had fun still doing the right thing. But I chose the more difficult thing. I went to get a job doing manual labor and realized that I didn't want to do that the rest of my life. So I had to work and go back to school. So fun was cut in half, or not that so much fun was cut in half, but the implications of me not being responsible were greater. Like if I didn't get up and go to work, I could lose my job. If I lost my job, then, you know, maybe I couldn't pay to go to school, things like that. So there was a domino effect that came with jumping out there, being responsible or trying to be responsible. So I wish I had stayed home longer. My dad asked me to. He suggested that I should. Ultimately, he gave me his blessing to move out because, as he said, that was only to be one man of the house, and that was him. And I wish I'd have taken 3 or 4 more years, whether I was in school or not. Me moving out represented some freedoms that I was looking for that cost more than I thought, than I knew they did. What else you got? Any clear? It doesn't have to be a question. It can be a closing thought or just something that was on your mind. Like, I've enjoyed this conversation. I feel like you've opened my eyes to some things, confirmed some things, reassured me about some things.
I feel like I am better prepared maybe than you were to be an adult. Because I feel like the way you raised me, more recently, it's not more of a just do this without question. It's like I'm learning why. Like I'm learning that it has to be like my decision. It's on me. Like I can't act like a child forever. And that's just the thing. Like my responsibility, coming to a point where it's my responsibility, not yours.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, that was a big deal. My dad wasn't you didn't ask why. And just in my generation period, you don't ask why.
Yeah.
Like you do something because you're told to do something. Whether knowing why you're doing it will help you or not, asking why was not wise. like you get punished for asking why. So I've, and they feel differently now. So again, this is every generation matured. Like you said, every generation should get better. So this is never an indictment on my dad or my parents in general. It's just how we develop over time and we have new information. So we do new things, or we should anyway. But I'm, like I said, I'm happy about where you are in life. I'm excited to see what's next. I hope you don't put too much pressure on yourself, because that's something else that I did because of the decisions I made. And I felt like I had to accelerate going to school and, you know, make sure that I still had a full-time job. Like, that's not the life that I would choose again. Things clicked for me because when I became responsible for like the financial part of it, now it's a big deal. And then more so than now, a college degree was a delineation between you having a good opportunity or not in a lot of cases. I think there's more opportunities for people, period, but especially your generation now with the information that's available, AI, like even learning how to get what you want out of AI would be a huge skill to have. Would be a huge skill to have. So if you don't have anything else, man, I'm gonna go ahead and close. I appreciate you being on here. Mm-hmm. For the audience, like, share, and subscribe. I was supposed to say that early. I was supposed to say that real early in the episode. But I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. Shop Love Keisha J. That's my wife for children's books. Her children's book, Love Keisha J Studios, for her apparel and jewelry collection. Everything is top tier over there. Salute to Jay Black, who's not on, but Flexion Chiropractic here in the DFW area. Couple offices, what they're doing, fantastic work and growing. I think that's going to do it, man. We appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.